All right. Thank you. All right. All right. How many of you? Shut up. How many of you had a good Thanksgiving? How many got to be out in the desert? How many got to go home for Thanksgiving? How many got to stay with a nice family here and have Thanksgiving with a nice? How many stayed here with a mean family? Okay, you must stay with the Mitchells. Okay. He's not here to pick on, so I shouldn't pick on. All right. How many have ever been afraid of something? Okay. Everybody has. We all have fears. One of my fears is I have a fear of heights. In fact, I'm a little nervous up here at this platform. I'm holding on. No, unstable heights. Okay. I've been on the Royal Gorge Bridge. I don't know if anybody ever been on the Royal Gorge Bridge in Colorado. It's the highest bridge in America, and it's open sides. I don't mean like open like you can jump, but it's wire you can see. And then the bottom of it's like slats in it that you can look straight down. And it's, but that doesn't scare me. Now, if I was walking on the edge of the rail, that would scare me. But that's one of my fears, unstable heights. My wife has a terrible fear of spiders. Anybody have that fear? Some of you guys? Okay. All right. I remember years ago we were driving home from church one service, and all of a sudden my wife said, "Stop the car!" And I said, Why? She said, "There's a spider on the windshield." And I said, "Okay." She said, "Stop it right now." I said, "I can't stop right now. I'm driving down the road. I can't just stop in the middle of traffic." She said, "Stop the car!" So I said, "Okay, I'll go pull over." So the first chance I had, I pulled over. As soon as I pulled over, even before the car stopped, she was out of the car. And she says, "I'm not getting back in until you get rid of that spider." So I found a napkin or something and I hit against the windshield. It was at night. And I think I got it. You say, "Brother, how did you get it?" I don't know. My wife asked me the same question. I did not give her the same answer I gave you. I said, "Yeah, I got it." Now you say, that's cruel. I wanted to go home. I didn't want to, if I had not said that, we would still be there. And I would not be here today. So, I know last time I was here, I talked about honesty. There is one exception to that. Okay, and that was what I just, because, don't look at me like that, ladies, like, "Oh, I can't believe you would do that. I had to go home." But that's my wife, terrible fear of spiders. We all have fears. For someone to say, "I'm not afraid of anything," that's just not true. Turn to Isaiah 41, please. Isaiah 41. I love this verse. Verse 10. Isaiah 41. In verse number 10, God tells us very simply, "Fear thou not." I'm going to read the rest of the verse because I think it's a great verse. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Amen. Does God want us to be afraid? No, he says, "Fear thou not." And there are many, many other verses in the Bible where God tells us not to fear. Now I want you to turn over to Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 16. Proverbs 14. Verse 16. The Bible says, "A wise man feareth." Oh, wait a minute. I think I just found a contradiction in the Bible. The Bible says, "A wise man, not a dumb man, not a foolish man, not a wicked man, but a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. But the fool rageth and is confident." Is that a contradiction? Well, of course it's not. Obviously, there are two kinds of fear. There is a good fear, and there is a bad fear. And the truth of the matter is, you show me what your fears are, I'll show you what kind of Christian you are. Because if you fear the right things and don't fear the wrong things, then that's good. But if you fear what you shouldn't fear, but you're afraid or don't fear what you should fear, then you're going to have some problems in your Christian life. So simple title of my message today is Good Fear, Bad Fear. Let's pray. Father, please help us today speak to every heart, including mine. Lord, guide my tongue, please. Amen. First of all, we're going to look at the bad fear. What is a bad fear? A bad fear is something that you're supposed to do, but you're afraid to do it. Okay? Soul winning. Now, we're all soul winners. We're all required to go soul winning. One of the young men said, I forgot I was supposed to go soul winning, and then I went soul winning. And that's probably happened to all of us. But have you ever been afraid to hand someone a tract? I have. Have you ever chickened out? I'm ashamed to admit I have. Okay? What happens is sometimes is you look at a situation, and it's like the Holy Spirit says, give that guy a tract. And you kind of look at him and think, that guy, he looks mean. He doesn't look like he's going to accept it anyway. He may even punch me out. And you sit there and you kind of debate it. But what happens is there's something called the spirit of fear. Turn over to 2 Timothy. And I just realized I didn't write down the reference. So just read all the way. 1:7. I was just testing Pastor. Good job, Pastor. One reason he hired me. 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What I think, and this is my opinion, but what I think the spirit of fear is okay, you know when you need to do something, like give someone a tract or whatever, and then you start debating on whether or not you should do it. And you start thinking through in your head. You know, the longer you think about whether or not you should do it, I think that gives the devil time to overtake you with the spirit of fear. And the longer you spend trying, should I do that? I don't know if I should. Debating, pretty soon the spirit of fear overcomes you and you're just overcome with fear and you chicken out. Then, of course, it's interesting how as soon as the opportunity passes away, you think, that wouldn't have been that hard. But the spirit of fear overtook you because you did not obey God and do what the Holy Spirit had prompted you to do. Now turn over to Psalm 56, verse 3. Psalm 56, verse 3. What is the answer? What's the solution whenever we are faced with a fear? Maybe it's a fear of some people don't want to date. They want to date, but they're afraid that they might get turned down. Or they're afraid that the relationship might end in a way they don't want it to, and so they don't go on a date. They're afraid to get married. And I'm not saying marriage is not for everybody. I understand that. But if you want to get married, then don't be afraid. But Psalm 56:3. I love this verse. The Bible says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Such a simple thought there. But what's implied by that, "I will trust in Thee," is a step forward. Okay, let's go back to this track thing. You're getting ready to give a track, and you think, oh, what am I going to say to this person? How am I going to do this? And I don't know how this is going to work out. Don't try to figure it out. Just take that step. As soon as you take that step, that is what trust in thee. Well, time I'm afraid, the moment you're afraid, just take that step toward where you're supposed to go. And that's what it means to trust in God. It doesn't just mean to say, okay, I've got peace now. No, it means go forward. Do what you're supposed to do. When you're afraid, just go ahead and do it. Years ago, when I was a college student, 40 years ago. Thank you. Maybe that makes you feel better. I had a Bible club in downtown Gary, which is a nice place, you know. Is that where you live? All right, yeah. But probably your dad that I ran into that gave me so much. Anyway, his dad's on my bus ride. I know him. But I was walking down the sidewalk in downtown Gary. I'm talking about downtown, like 5th and Broadway. That's as downtown Gary as you can get. But I was walking down the sidewalk, and I noticed across the street there was a motorcycle club. And all these guys were outside on their motorcycles, you know, the big leather jackets and all this stuff. And whoa. And all of a sudden, there was a still small voice. that said, go on over there and witness to him. And I answered that still small voice and said, going over there? You know, they'll throw me around like a beach ball. You know, they'll just have a big party with me, and I'll never see anybody again. And I was just walking down the sidewalk, and I was looking at those guys and how mean they looked. None of them were over there. Like, hey, man, how you doing? No. Like, and the whole time I was walking, I thought, God was saying, go over there. And I thought, no. What am I going to say? And I couldn't think of anything to say to him, so I finally just said, God, help me, I'm going to do it. And I just started walking across the street. I had no idea what I was going to say. I had no idea what was going to happen. I just said, God, I know you want me to do it. I don't know what I'm going to say. I know how it's going to turn out. But I know you want me to do it. So I just started walking across. And I said, God, help me. So I walk over there. And I said, hey, hey, fellas. Can I ask you a question? They all just stared at me. I think that is a yes. If you were to die today, do you know 100% sure you would go to heaven? I didn't actually do that, but that's what I was like, you know, get him. Okay. Do you care if I just take my Bible and show you how you can know that for sure? Okay. So I'm going to open up my New Testament. And good thing I had it memorized because I couldn't see the print. But so I gave the plan of salvation. And then when I was done, I said, okay, do you realize that you're sinners?
Yeah, man.
Sinners, when they're out, do you believe that they go to hell?
Yeah, man.
And I went through the whole thing and reviewed it. I said, okay, if you'd like Jesus to be your Savior, now don't do it if you don't mean it, but if you'd like Jesus to be your Savior, I want you just to bow your head and repeat this prayer for me, but you got to mean it from your heart. I said, let's bow our heads. I was almost afraid about mine because I figured, hey, let's get him now. So I bowed my head, all of them, every one of them, bowed their heads. Whoa, wow. And I said, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I thought, it's unbelievable. And so I, you know, amen. And I said, how many of you guys meant what you said? All their hands went up. Wow. And they gave me one of their Harleys, and I rode off into the sunset. No, not really. That part wasn't true, but everything else was. But what made the difference? If I just stayed on the other side of that sidewalk and just thought, no way, you know, and just kept, the spirit of fear would have taken over me and I never would have done it. But because I just said, okay, God, I don't know how I'm going to do this. I'm scared to death, but I know you want me to. And I just went that direction. And God helped me.
Right.
And by the time I was halfway through the plan of salvation, I was confident, like, bless God. You know, I was like, you know, God gave me boldness. But he didn't give me boldness over there. He gave me boldness after I said, okay, God, I'm going to do this.
Right.
If you're waiting for God to give you the answer and the boldness and everything before you do it, you won't ever do anything.
That's good. Right.
What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee.
Amen.
You take that step forward, and God will help you. That's the bad fear. God doesn't want us to fear bad. If there's something God wants you to do, just do it. Ask God to help you.
Amen.
Doesn't mean the fear is going to disappear immediately, but just do what God wants you to do. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Now I want to talk about the good fear. What's the good fear? The good fear is a healthy fear of a potential danger. The verse that we read in Proverbs 14 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. You ever heard somebody say, that didn't bother me. I can handle it. You know, the person thinks they're cool. They think, you know, they're big and bad. They're actually just a fool, according to God. There needs to be a healthy fear of things that are dangerous. I grew up in the South, grew up in Kentucky, as Pastor mentioned. We grew up on a farm. Man, we had guns when we were little. At my mom's baby shower, I got a gun. Just kidding. But I got a .22 rifle when I was 12 years old. I went out in the woods by myself. I didn't, you know. But the reason nobody ever got shot or killed, at least that I know of, maybe the farmer on the other side of our farm, I don't know. There was a mysterious death. Anyway. But no, I never shot anybody. Nobody ever got injured. All the years I've had guns all my life. You know why? Because my dad taught me gun safety. He taught me to fear what a gun can do. Now, I'm not afraid of a gun. I'm saying, no, it's a gun. Now, some people in Chicagoland area, they are, because all the guns they see are gang members. You know, pow, 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 pow. That's why they hit everybody but the gang member. Because when you shoot like this, you don't hit the people you're aiming at. But anyway. But my dad taught me, he said, okay, and all you guys, especially you guys who grew up in the South, but any guys that grew up with guns, you know, there's gun safety. You treat every gun like it's loaded. The muzzle of the gun, the barrel part, you never point it toward anybody, ever. You say, well, it's not loaded. It doesn't matter. You never do that.
Right.
Okay? You don't put your finger on the trigger unless you're ready to shoot. You keep your finger off the trigger. Okay? And then you check the chamber, make sure it's empty when you're looking at a gun. You ever go to a gun store, say, I'd like to see that gun right there. The guy, he knows they're all empty, but he'll take it out. He'll open the chamber and hand it to you. When I get it, I open up the chamber again. I look for myself. Some of you may have heard recently there was a famous actor that violated all the principles of gun safety, and he shot somebody on the set because he was told it's a dummy gun. It doesn't work. It's a prop gun, and so it's not loaded. So he pointed it at one of the people and pulled the trigger and killed him. Why? Because he didn't know anything about gun safety. He broke all the rules of gun safety. He didn't respect the gun. So, guns don't kill people. I'm not trying to make a political statement here. People kill people. Careless people that don't fear and respect what a gun can do. Just like anything, you're driving a car. A car can kill somebody. Okay, so you don't sit there and playing video games on your phone while you're driving a car. Okay, you got to respect that. All right, I want you to turn to another passage. Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. It's an interesting verse. I read this the other day, and it just really jumped out at me. Proverbs 5, verse 14. Notice what it says here. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. When I read that, I thought of Howells Anderson College. I thought, I wonder if there's somebody in the middle of the will of God sitting right in these seats here. You're that far away from throwing your life away. Because you don't fear, you're playing with sin. It says, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. We all need to have that fear, and that's why there's rules. There are rules, dating rules, rules of all sorts. Why? It's to protect you. And you may say, that rule's kind of dumb. I'm not going to do anything wrong. Well, a wise person fears sin and runs away from it. Now, real quickly, there are three areas that I just want to mention here where your lack of fear can really take you out of the ministry. And just three quick areas here. First of all, and this is the most damaging because it affects others, immorality. You better be careful. Now, I'm not saying, again, if you accidentally hit your elbow with your girlfriend's elbow, oh, I'm sorry, oh, no, I'm going to die. You don't have to do that, but to just sit and casually be touching each other and not try to get it, not try to stop that. That's dangerous. You're heading down a wrong road. I remember when my brother was in college, he just heard a sermon from Brother Howes about helping other people, and so he was on his way to work after a service, and there was a car stalled on the road, and so the hood was up, and my brother pulled behind him and said, hey, can I help you? And the guy said, well, no, I think I can get it going, but my friend here needs a ride to work. And he said, okay. Well, brother didn't realize it, but it was a lady. And he thought, oh, man. And she looked a little older, so he thought, oh, maybe it's okay. But he was a little bit nervous about that, and he felt kind of bad because he'd already asked, can I help you? And so he thought, oh, okay, where do you live? Calumet City. Or where do you work? Calumet City. So that's not far away. Oh, man, I hope I don't get in trouble. I hope I get kicked out of college. He was all nervous about just being in the car with this girl. And so he was going to witness to her. So he started witness to her, and he asked her name. She said, oh, my friends at work call me Little Betty. That's kind of strange. Come to find out, she worked at one of those strip joint bar things. Okay, and so then my brother got like, oh, no, I'm done. I'm out of college right now. And he said, I got to get her to work. So he just started going real fast. He got caught by a train. So now he's sitting here, and he's sweating bullets, and he's going, ma'am, I'm in a hurry. You're going to have to get out right here. And she said, oh, please take me. He said, no, ma'am, you're going to have to get out right here. And she reached over and she put her hand on my brother's hand and said, please take me. My brother reached over, opened her door, literally kicked her out of his car, shut the door, and drove off the other way as fast as he could. Now, obviously, he got himself in a bad situation, but a wise man feareth and departeth from evil. You don't take a chance when it comes to something like that. The second area where we need to fear, and actually more people will be disqualified by this than probably morality, and that's character. Your character. You know, you're late to class. You miss class when you don't really have to. You oversleep. Oh, I'm sorry, I overslept. Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to do that. Now, we all do that at times, but if that's kind of a regular thing for you, you need to realize that's something you need to be scared about. You know, you got big dreams of working in a Christian school or being a pastor or helping in some church, but if people can't depend on you, you're not going to keep a job very long, and you're definitely not going to be of great service to the Lord. So you need to be a little bit afraid about that. If you say, well, I do have a problem with that, okay, that's not the end of the world, but you need to be scared and start working on that. Do whatever you have to do. If everybody's late every once in a while, everybody forgets something every once in a while, but if that's just kind of the, oh, yeah, oh, I'm sorry, oh, yeah, that ought to scare you because that may be what keeps you from being used of God. And the last thing, a passion for God. You better be scared that whether or not you have a passion for God. If you don't, there ought to be a fear about that. We'll look at one last verse here, Psalm 27, verse 8. Psalm 27, verse 8. Psalm 27, verse 8. The psalmist said, when thou, Lord, saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. When God speaks to your heart, what does your heart say? You sat through sermon after sermon after sermon. Ugh. Now, we all get tired. I understand that. Most of us been in church all our lives. We heard thousands of sermons. But if you get to the place where you just, and just not affected by it, that ought to scare you.
Amen.
You ought to depart from that. There ought to be a fear that God, don't quit speaking to me. And it may be, if it seems like God hasn't spoken to you for a while, you ought to hit the altar and say, God, where are you? God, don't leave me. I need you.
Amen.
When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. What do you fear? You have a good fear or a bad fear? Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll help us, Lord. Help us to fear the things that could hurt us, Lord. Help us to see the danger of what could take us out of the ministry, Lord, and help us to run from it. Flee from it. That's what wise people do. And Lord, if there's something that we should be doing, but we're just afraid, that's just the devil trying to give us the spirit of fear to keep us from doing your will. Help us, Lord. Whatever our fears are, help us to make them right, please.